Welcome everyone to the European Dot Warehouse webinar. So today we will go through two main points for the presentation of today, and as usual we will leave you the possibility of asking questions at the very end. You can submit them through the WebEx. But I think news of the last few days is that last week the European Commission published the RTS regarding the disclosure standards for the ESMA underlying exposures, and that actually represent very big development because puts the clock start kicking. So at the same point we are also providing a slide where we highlight what is the also effect in conjunction with the with the European Central Bank press release that was issued on the 22nd of March. And then most importantly, what we are going to focus on today is with Gopala Sankaran, our head of IT, we are going to focus on the new editor release feature, in particular what is new, and he will provide a live demo. At the end, should you wish, you can also submit, as I said, some specific questions. And we try to provide answers to as many as possible. So without further ado, in terms of the regulatory update, what is news from the is the release updated version of from the European Commission that was on the 16th of October presented on their website. What it means practically is realistically that, as I said, the clock is now ticking from the start of the 16th of October for about 3 months. So it means that at the end of the day, in about 3 months scrutiny period follow from the on the publication on the official journal after 20 days. Calendar days, it means that towards the end of February, beginning of March of next year, then the ESMA templates will come into force. So it means that for all the parties that are preparing or that have issued transactions in 2019, that they need to really start now looking into the information and preparing the XML files for the various asset classes that are relevant for their securitizations. So in the next slide, what we show is what I just say in terms of the timeline. You can see that realistically, typically this will take 3 months. Unlikely that the scrutiny period will be reduced to less than that, but in any case, that also have a ripple effect not only on the reporting under the securitization regulation, but also most importantly, it's going to have an effect on the ripple eligibility of the ABS transactions, because this needs to be looked at in conjunction with the press release that was issued on the 22nd of March from the European Central Bank. And in particular with the two conditions that will be necessary in order to comply with the eligibility. So the European Central Bank and the Eurosystem actually has divided the situation and the applicability of the new ESMA templates, so depending whether the deals are issued pre-2019 or after 2019. But what will means in practice is that there will be a dual reporting period for certain transactions that are subject to the ECB eligibility criteria. You can see in this page, in this slide here, the specific requirements that will kick in as soon as not only the ESMA templates are enacted, but when also the first securitization repository will be will also be selected from ESMA, and that we expect to happen during the summer of next year. So realistically, there will be a relatively long period, at least in 2020, where there is going to be a dual reporting obligation. But without further ado, I'll pass the ball to Gopala so that he can actually explain to you in detail what European Data Warehouse has been doing in terms of the new editor to help banks and reporting agents, sponsors and originators, and SSPs to prepare for the new reporting obligations that will kick in next year.
Thank you, Marco, and hello and good evening to everyone. It's a pleasure today to walk you through the several features, and we are extremely excited to front run the regulations and build features onto our platform, giving you, especially issuers, ample time to test the new disclosure templates that have been adopted by the Commission and which are expected to take effect in another 3 to 3.5 months. So today's, before I walk you through the demo, let me give you a high level overview of the several features that we have implemented in this October release. And of course, at the end, I will also walk you through the roadmap in terms of key set of checklist for issuers, and also how, what is our plan in terms of complying with the regulation 100%. So mid-October, we had a new release both on our live production environment and also on the sandbox environment. And on the, both the live and sandbox, we launched four key features. We have, as a main, the most important feature is we have merged both the ECB deals and the deals that would fall under securitization regulation under one umbrella, making it easy for you to just create one transaction and upload any data or documentation or templates on a single transaction, be it the ECB loan level data template or the future ESMA XML templates. We have also introduced several privacy features. You can now create private transactions or create public transactions and make them private during the pre-marketing phase. And you will be able to share these transactions with specific individuals, both who are already registered on our platform and also to users who have not yet registered on our platform. So for these users, they will get an automatic invitation link and we can get them on board easily, and then they can view these transactions. We also have a feature for on-demand access to deals. So this is in line with the regulatory requirement for potential investors, but this feature can also be used by structurers and arrangers, specific users who you would like to share your transactions with. These need not be investors who have blanket access to all the deals, but these users can request on-demand access to these deals. And as the owner of the data and as the deal creator, you will all the time have an oversight of who you have given access to, and you will have the ability to revoke that access at any point in time. We have also made several miscellaneous improvements in terms of performance and design, which you can of course see in the demo. Specifically on the sandbox environment, we have now built support for the ESMA XML templates as it stands today, both for the RMB and auto underlying exposures, and also for the investor report and the significant event slash inside information templates. We have also built a CSV to XML converter. So those who have already used our sandbox may already know this, that we support CSV templates already for several asset classes. And based on your feedback, thank you very much for this feedback, that many of you prefer to use the CSV template to generate data on your side. So we are offering also a CSV to ESMA XML converter, which I will talk about in a bit detail later. So in terms of the deal creation, so we now have a single create deal form through which you can create one transaction and upload any data against it. We have also introduced an FTP channel, which is also a regulatory requirement to upload ESMA data and documentation. So this is a secure FTP channel, which will be a machine-to-machine protocol directly connecting from your machine where your data source is to our data center where we host the editor platform. We also have now on editor a single upload and publish button. And if you have your existing data quality rules that are not throwing any hard failures, you can directly publish them without the need of manual intervention, going into a draft state and then manually clicking on the publish button. We have also improved our documentation feature. Earlier, we had the ability to only accept zip files, and you had to, even if you had to submit a single document, let's say a prospectus, you had to put it in a zip file, name it in a specific format, and then upload it. With this October release, you can simply drag and drop a prospectus and click a category called prospectus and upload it. So we have made significant user experience improvements on our document store. In terms of privacy, you can, when you create a private transaction, you can also make transactions provisional. And the moment you make transactions provisional, you can optionally choose to govern the data that you upload with specific terms and conditions. You can also choose to apply these terms and conditions to specific documents. Also, you can also choose to have these terms and conditions at a global deal level. With the on-demand deal access, potential investors can directly request access to your transactions, and you have full control when to approve them, when to revoke access. And as I said earlier, this feature can also be used by you to grant access to structurers and arrangers before the deal is actually created. So we now, from a data consumption point of view, we have merged our template data, which is data in structured format, and other documentation like prospectus, sale deed agreements, and so on, into one single tab, giving users a full picture of all the data and documents available for that deal. As an issuer, if you're also a data user on our platform, having access to all deals, you have now a quick toggle button to instantly see your specific deals versus all deals on our platform. And we have also made some performance improvements and minor UI enhancements, which I will show you in the demo. Now, the most important thing you are expecting is, of course, the ability to test these XML templates on the sandbox. So I will cover them in a bit more detail. As I said earlier, our test environment, which we call the sandbox environment, we now support 4 XML templates, 2 asset classes for underlying exposures, and of course the investor report and significant event. If you have data in ED's prescribed CSV format, and many of you have already uploaded such data and tested your data, and if you have this data in this specific format, you can of course convert this into ESMA prescribed XML using our converter. So just a specific note here, the regulation clearly says that issuers need to submit data in XML format. We have sought clarification from ESMA as to whether we can do this conversion on your behalf, and we are still awaiting an answer from ESMA. So depending on what ESMA responds, this converter can either be inbuilt into editor so that you can simply drag and drop a CSV file. We will then convert it and automatically publish it. If ESMA replies saying the issuer is indeed responsible for uploading in XML format by digitally signing the XML file, in this case, the conversion has to happen on your systems at your end so that you can actually sign the converted XML file. And therefore, if this is the response from ESMA, we will build a separate standalone conversion utility, which you can have on your machine, on your computer, convert the CSV file, and then send it to us. So we have the conversion logic built already, and depending on ESMA's response, we will either have it inbuilt or as standalone. In the meantime, till we get an answer from ESMA, please continue to upload CSV files onto the sandbox environment as you usually do, and simply email that code to this email ID that you see on the screen, csv2xmlconverter@eurodw.eu. I know a couple of you have already done this, and we will simply use our internal converter tool and give you back the XML for you to see how the XML would look like. We also plan to release a beta version of a standalone converter before the end of the year, but we hope that ESMA's responds to our clarification much earlier so that we can go ahead with a clear approach of either an inbuilt versus standalone conversion. in terms of the roadmap. So what's coming next? So in this slide, you see three columns. On the left is regulatory requirements that are divided into key components of the whole workflow. And here we have put together an issuer checklist versus how ED is preparing to meet those regulatory requirements. In terms of registering users, ESMA has a certain protocol of how securitization repository should register users, what fields they should capture, and so on. This is already available in our registration forms. For deal creation, we have now a create deal form, which I'm going to show you quickly in the demo in a second. But from your side, what you need to be prepared with is the securitization identifier, which is in a specific format. You need to determine who the reporting entity is. As per the regulation, the reporting entity could be one of the originator, sponsor, or SSPE, and it could be only one of them. So as a checklist on your side, it is important to understand who the reporting entity is, because this is a key feature you would need to populate during deal creation. And of course, the legal entity identifier takes extreme prominence now. It's also going to be in the underlying exposure file. You also need it as part of the securitization identifier. So whoever the reporting entity will be, that entity needs to have an LEI number. In terms of preparing data, so we have already covered enough in terms of the CSV to XML converter. So we are, of course, happy to help you there. If you have data in a different CSV format, please write to us. We can, of course, explore possibilities where we can have a custom converter built for you. And in terms of data upload, so we have now already built the FTP channel so that you can securely directly upload data without coming to our web interface. But from your side, it is important to then liaise with your IT department, ensure there are no firewalls preventing such a communication channel, and ensure there is smooth connectivity from your machines to our infrastructure. You also need to have the ability to digitally sign files, which many of you do as part of the ECB reporting. And of course, in terms of uploading this data through either FTP or through our web interface, we have now supported these two asset classes, as I mentioned earlier. In the next release in December, we will also implement the leasing and the corporate asset classes. However, what is still pending from our side, what comes next is, as per ESMA requirements, we also need to send you a feedback message in structured XML format with whether your data set has been accepted or rejected or partly accepted. If it has been partly rejected, which loans have been rejected, and so on and so forth. So we are also in the process of building this exact feedback message system. That is still work in progress on our side. Just for your information on the data consumption, we will of course now build the end of day report, which is very similar to the, and using this report, you will be able to find out what deals came in that day, what is the status, how many submissions were canceled, how many submissions were uploaded, and so on. We have not yet built this simply because we are awaiting the exact XML structure from ESMA. Again, most of the dependencies which we have not yet implemented simply are because we are expecting proper XML formats from ESMA because of the ISO 20022 standards and the switch from a CSV structure to an XML structure. With that, let me quickly go into the demo. I have here two tabs open. One is the sandbox environment and one is the actual live environment. So I'm going to give you a quick overview of the create deal form on both the environments. The reason why the form here is different is because on the sandbox environment, we have built the sandbox in such a way that we are already a securitization repository, so that you can play around on the sandbox as if you're going to comply with the regulation. Just a minute, we have a user comment saying they are not able to see the screen. So let me just quickly restart the sharing of the screen. So I hope you can see the screen now, and apologies for that. So as I said earlier, the sandbox environment is your playground, and you can create deals and upload data as if there exists already a securitization repository, which means that you need to fill in the legal entity identifier and all the other details that you would have to do once we become a securitization repository. So here, let me create a deal. You have the deal type. You can choose whether it's an ABCP or ABS deal. There are also some other private transactions that you can upload as usual, like for example, the additional credit claims. But I will go with the most common one, a Resi Mortgage Standard ABS deal. And just for the purposes of the demo, we have already created several deals. I choose a future vintage of 2021. Now, what you see here next is very important. When creating the deal, because now on a single deal, you can upload any data and documentation, here you can choose whether you want to use the ESMA XML templates. As you can see here on the sandbox, you have this clear message, call for testing in the sandbox. And of course, if you want to test uploading ACB data, you can also do that. And again, this is automatically ticked. You are able to upload any documentation like prospectus or investor report. Because we are not yet a securitization repository, we do meet all qualifications required to be a transitional period website where you can report all data to meet the regulatory requirements. Of course, you can choose the data owner and the data provider. So in this case, choose the country of assets, the country of primary. Because you chose also the ECB template, we have ECB specific fields. If you do not choose the ECB template, you will not have the ECB specific fields, of course. For instance, deal size is a field required under the ECB eligibility criteria, but not required under the ESMA criteria. Can of course choose several parameters for your deal. And here is the main thing, because it is the sandbox environment, we ask you the reporting entity LEI. Let me quickly go to the live environment and do the exact same thing for you to see the difference. As you can see here, you do not see the reporting entity LEI and several other fields. On the sandbox, back to the sandbox, you have the reporting entity LEI. I will use our own LEI for now. And we do have a direct search with the GLIFE database, the Global Legal Entity Identifier Foundation database, and it auto-populates the name of the reporting entity. And as I said earlier, who is the reporting entity? Is it the originator, sponsor, or the SSPE? So if I choose originator, it gets auto-populated here. And then you need to also put the securitization ID. The securitization ID is a requirement, is an obligation of the issuer, and therefore you need to create an ID for your transaction, but it follows a specific format which we validate. It has to be the first 20 digits, which is the reporting entity's LEI. If it is a non-ABCP standard ABS transaction, you need to have the letter N. For ABCP, it's A, followed by the vintage, in this case 2021. And then a two-digit sequential number. If it's a series of transactions you plan to issue in the same year, then it could be from 01, 02, and so on. So here, as you see, we validate the securitization ID. If I change the vintage, it should match the selected vintage value. So we do validate the matched vintage value here, which we populated earlier. So we do validations on the securitization ID, but it's the obligation of the issuer to generate an ID. Of course, then you have the standard ISIN fields. And you can also choose who the national competent authority is. And here, let me also walk you through the privacy features. The moment you make the deal as private, you can choose to invite specific users. And if this user is not registered on the platform, they will get an invitation link. You can also make the deal visible to an entire organization by entering the organization's name here. And then you can go ahead and create and confirm your transaction. So that's how deal creation works. And it is also important to understand the difference in deal creation between the sandbox and the live environment. On the right hand side here, you can also see which templates you can upload to your deal based on what you chose there. So in this case, we chose a residential mortgage. You also have directly the sample files available here, which you can download. In the interest of time, let me quickly move on to another feature for the individual deal access. I will quickly log in as a structurer or an arranger or a potential investor who wants to have access to your transaction. So what they see is a blank page, but then they have this request access menu. And when they click on it, they see all the transactions available on the platform with our unique ED code and the name of the deal. And for any deal they are interested in, they can go and request access. So in this case, I have taken a general sample set. It's not the deal for which the previous user was the owner, unfortunately. But if I now log in back as an issuer, as a role of an issuer, I have something called a manage access screen. And here I have all the requests. The deal which I earlier requested for, I am not the, this user is not the issuer for it. I just picked a deal at random. But if any of the potential investor or an arranger requests access to your deal, it would show up here. You can see all your pending requests and approved requests, and you can bulk select them and approve or reject them. You can also search for usernames. So this audit trail of who you have given access to, who you have rejected access for, this is always available to you and you have full control over this. In the interest of time, I am not going to give a demo of how to upload data and documents because this is pretty much the same. There has been no change. However, let me walk you through the data and documents tab. Here you can see all the data and documentation in a single page. We have, of course, received feedback that for certain documents, you do not see the file names fully. For example, here, the pool cutoff date column is very wide. It could be much narrow. So we are making these improvements. And in the coming weeks, we will clearly have a new version. This is the toggle button on the top right, where you can hover between My Deals and all the deals. So when you click on My Deals, you see your own deals for which you have uploaded data for. And on the right side, because this deal, you can upload both the ECB template and the ESMA template. Here you can easily see the data that you uploaded. You have the upload and publish button for the ESMA templates as well. You can see everything. And also here you have the ability to upload documents or hyperlinks. So you can simply choose a specific document type, let's say a prospectus, drag and drop your file. It could be any name that you want to give it. If you want to make it provisional, you can make it. If you want to make a specific document private, you can also make it. And if you want this document to be governed by a specific TNC, you can also do that. So that's a quick overview of what's in store for you, both on the sandbox and on the live environment. I also explain to you about our future roadmap. So we will be making several improvements as well in the future and supporting the remaining parts of the regulation and going ahead and implementing them. So with that, let me open the floor for questions. So if you have any questions, please use the chat box or the Q&A box and we will take up questions soon. And of course, after the webinar, you would also receive a copy of the presentation. There is a question in terms of timelines. How do you arrive at an October or November timeline? Since we understand early February.
Yeah, because there is the 3 month scrutiny period plus the 20 days publication in the official journal. So if you go back to the slide on the timeliness, you will see that it's actually, as you said, it's going to be February or March in terms of the entering into force of the RTS. So that's what we envisage, as you can see from the slide number 5.
Okay, there is a question on how to upload ESMA files. So the question is, when I try to upload ESMA files earlier, I used the Documents tab. The ESMA and ECB template tabs were not be visible. Will this be visible in the future? The answer is yes. When you create a deal, as I showed you earlier in the create deal form, please tick both the tick boxes that you intend to upload. Upload both the ECB template and the ESMA template for your transaction. So in the sandbox, when you do this, you can tick both these tick boxes. And once you do that, you would be able to upload both the ECB template and the ESMA template on the tabs on the right side, one for ECB and one for ESMA. There is a question on whether the Parliament needs to endorse. Unlike the Commission, who has approved the regulatory technical standards for the disclosure, that is the ESMA XML templates, the Parliament has 3 months to give their comment or potentially put it back into a draft state. They have 3 months to do this, and if that 3 month expires, it means that the regulation is automatically approved by the Parliament. So yeah, they need not officially approve, but as long as the time elapses, it gets automatically approved, and then it goes to the official journal, and 20 days after that, it takes effect. There is also a remote possibility, in order to accelerate the whole thing, that the Parliament can proactively approve this much earlier than 3 months, although we think it's highly unlikely, but that's still a theoretical possibility. There is a question on the actual years of securitization. So the new regulation, the securitization regulation applies not to securitizations earlier than 2019, but only with securitizations with vintage of 2019 or with ISINs with an issue date in 2019 onwards, from Jan 1st, 2019.
So it, for example, affects Master Trust where they issued a note over the course of 2019.
There is a question on the sandbox versus the live environment. Of course, you can create a live deal on the sandbox, but this the whole purpose of the sandbox is for you to be prepared with the data set. So you can, of course, upload real live data. The sandbox is as protected and as governed in terms of data governance and information security as the live environment. There is no difference in terms of data security or potential data breaches between these two environments, but any data that you upload in the sandbox is available only to you. In other words, there is not a data user role, so someone like an investor does not have access to the sandbox and he cannot see these information. This information will not be sent to ESMA once we become a repository. It's purely for you to test your data. There is also a technical question on uploading investor report. Should we sign the file? Yes, in the future, the investor report is also in structured template format. So there are several sections for the investor report and also for the significant event template. And therefore, you need to prepare this data in XML or in CSV and use our converter. Digitally sign the file and then upload the file. There is a question on gap analysis between Bank of England templates and ESMA templates. Marco?
Yeah, I think the what is interesting is that on the 11th of October, also Bank of England issued a note regarding the eligibility requirements, not only for securitization, for ABS. At the moment, what we are looking into is we are doing a red line in terms of the differences between the two versions of the RTS published from the Commission with the previous ones. So as soon as we have the analysis carried out, we will make the information and the results available.
We are actually getting several follow-up questions to answers that we have already made. So we can, of course, explain to you in detail. Please write to us at enquiries@eurodw.eu so that we can take up these follow-up questions. And thank you very much for your understanding.
The other thing is also, please contact us whether you can or if you would like to have a detailed demonstration. All our analysts are at your disposal. And we can easily set up these demonstrations via WebEx. What we would like to stress is that the sooner you start testing with a sandbox, the better, because of the technicalities and the format of the information that will need to be provided in the ESMA underlying exposure templates, plus the relevant documentation. So the earlier you can get familiar with the new systems and the new feature, the better.
There is a very important question on the timeline. When can I use the sandbox on the live environments? The sandbox environment is available today. So I encourage all of you to please register with us and get on board the sandbox environment so that you can use our converter and prepare data in CSV, or if you wish, you can directly prepare data in the ESMA prescribed XML format and upload them onto our sandbox. The XML template validation is available only for RMB and auto asset classes as of today, but by December we will also extend it to leasing and SME/corporate asset classes, with others following up very soon in the future in early 2020. On the live environment, you can upload create deals, and to comply with the transitional period arrangements, you can upload all documentation, like for instance your ECB template, prospectus, investor reports, cash flow models, sale deed agreements, anything that you need in order to comply with the transitional period arrangements. And because we are not yet a securitization repository, we do not allow uploading of structured XML templates there. However, if you have already data in XML format, you can still upload them as a document. Just that the live environment does not have the capability to scrutinize that data, do schema checks, validations, data quality checks on it. But of course, you are welcome to simply upload these as a document. There is a question on when will you be approved as a repository. Just like how the Commission has now approved the RTS for disclosure requirements, there is a separate RTS for operational standards, which talks about repositories. So the next step is that we are awaiting an approval from the Commission to adopt the RTS for repositories. And once that is adopted, the Parliament time is not 3 months, unlike the templates, but it's only 1 month. The reason for that is there was no back and forth on the RTS for repositories. For the RTS for the templates, the Commission first gave one round of back and forth back to ESMA saying seeking some amendments. And because of this, the Parliament has 3 months to scrutinize it. For the RTS for repositories, if the Commission approves it today or this week or next week, then the Parliament will have 1 month to scrutinize it, after which it automatically goes into the official journal. So if that happens in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we will be in a position to apply to ESMA by January or early February. And the application process takes another 3 months. So we are talking about at earliest beginning of summer 2020 for us to be a repository. Good. Just in terms of logistics, the presentation that you have seen today will be immediately available after the webinar on our website under the events menu of our website. And if you have any further questions, today there have been a lot of questions, also some follow-up questions, which we unfortunately do not have the time to answer. So please write to us at enquiries@eurodw.eu. If you have any further clarifications or if you want a more detailed demo, what I didn't have time to show you is also the converter. So this here that you see is a small desktop tool that's our converter, where you can simply choose the template and upload a CSV file and say convert. It then throws out an XML file. This as well we plan to release, but whether this is going to be inbuilt or a standalone desktop tool, for that we seek clarification from ESMA. So once again, thank you very much. We are already 10 minutes past the deadline. Thank you for all the interesting questions. And if you have any further clarifications to seek, please write to us.
Thank you. And we'll also wait for you because we have an upcoming webinar coming next month. So we will continue keeping you updated on all the latest developments. Very good afternoon to all of you.
Thank you.